This is React Podcast. I'm Chantastic. This week, friend of the show, Chris Biscardi, and I talk about building communities in a pandemic-ruled world. He tells me about the great things happening at Party Corgi Network, a community of practice. And we touch on the topics of Discord, live streaming, community management, and why you need to be what you want to see in community. This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red and Imagix. Working with Infinite Red gives you access to developers who know the direction React and React Native are headed. This is a superpower, the power of sight. It means you spend more time delighting customers with quality software and less time rebuilding your entire app because you picked a short-sighted state management library or something like that. Infinite Red have been designing, building, and shipping quality apps for 10 years and make their expertise and industry connections available to you and your team. Infinite Red will give you $750 to start or refer a new project. Get expert help from Infinite Red at reactpodcast.infinite.red. Unprocessed images kill performance. Front-end teams will optimize single kilobytes out of a JavaScript bundle only to throw performance away with large, unoptimized images that, despite their size, still look bad on many devices. Imagix helps you deliver sharp, snappy images to customers with powerful image processing and a simple API. Here's how it works. You put your master image on Imagix, get it there manually or via build step. Now reference these images in your product to have Imagix tune and optimize them perfectly for presentation on web and mobile devices. This plus delivery from their global CDN make Imagix worth it, but they also give you a simple API for customizing images via URL. I can only describe this as Imagix turning your image tags into a declarative Photoshop. You get basics like size, crop, position, etc., as well as creative APIs like filters, blend modes, text, and watermark overlays, and hundreds more. Follow the lead of Unsplash, Kickstarter, and Prismic, who know the importance of image optimization to user experience and depend on Imagix. Get a $300 account credit at imagix.com/react podcast. That's Imagix, imagix.com/react podcast. Chris Biscardi, welcome back to React Podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure being on.
It is. I always love chatting with you, and it's kind of funny. This has been like a, I don't know how this happened, but it's been a month of like third appearances for whatever reason. Life's been a little bit stressful, and so I was just like, you know what I want? I just want to talk to people that I enjoy talking with. Mm-hmm. And like, keep it simple, make it easy on myself, just hang out for a little bit. So that's what we're doing today.
I feel that a lot.
So the big overarching thing that I wanted to talk with you about is, like, I have always admired your ability to think about things from a community perspective. And I feel like you have invested a lot into the tooling and the places where that community happens. And I just wanted to pick your brain about like what to do. Because I know I'm trying to figure that out better. I'm trying to take React Podcast from just like me having conversations that like go public, which is fine, to like actually getting a little bit more, I guess, providing a little bit more value by like being kind of taking on some of the characteristics of the people who listen to the show, who enjoy the show week to week and want to be like a little bit more involved. So that's like the kind of high thing, but like specifically I want to talk with you about like Discord and like streaming and Party Corgi Network, all that kind of stuff. So first, just so we're not leaving anybody behind, tell me about Party Corgi Network. Like what is it to you? What's the like high level pitch on that?
Ooh, what is it to me and what I pitch it as are probably two different things.
Awesome. I want to hear both.
I guess we'll go with the pitch first. The pitch is that it's a community of practice. You are somebody who's trying to write blog posts or ship a product or just learn new things with a group of other people who are trying to learn those same kinds of things. This is a place for you, right? This is a place for you to come and enjoy the practice of doing the thing and do it with other people And we've got channels from content creation to music production to product business kind of stuff. And that's a whole lot of fun. What is it to me? What is it to me evolves a lot. Man, it started as this small thing and I didn't really intend for it to be like a big thing. And now there's, I don't know, we're pushing close to 2,000 people at this point. Maybe we're a little bit under that. But yeah, it's now like, and also in the context of like quarantine and everything, it's become like a community and like a co-working space for me almost in some ways. And
yeah,
I've met a bunch of friends in there now. And yeah, I don't know. Like it's what it is personally to me is like a very personal thing, right? But the pitch is sort of like you can come here and find some community and do the thing that you like doing with other people who like doing it. And it's very much not like like Carl was tweeting earlier about like transactional communities and like the question and answer vibe that some communities have. And Party Corgi is much, very much not that, right? We kind of purposefully avoid having like the Q&A channel or something like that, where people come in, they drop a question, they don't participate ever, and then they get it answered and they leave. That's not really what we are. That's not really what we're here for. We're here if you want to commit to doing your thing and you want to commit to doing it with a group of other people, here's the group of people that you can commit to doing it with.
Man, I love that. I love that so much. You touched on something that I think is really important, like the timing of it, mm-hmm. you know, and how like what it's meant to you has changed as we have gone from like a normal way of living in tech into like a quarantined way of living in tech. And I think that that had a lot of ramifications that like we just weren't necessarily ready for. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like Party Corgi Network gave you a place to make that transition at least a little bit more seamless, mm-hmm. and to feel like you still had like a lot of the parts of the community that you enjoyed and like wanted to have and foster kind of going into this like pretty difficult and isolating time.
Yeah, it was a super interesting thing that happened because Party Corgi started about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago, right? A year and a couple months. So it definitely wasn't like quarantine happened, let's try to like move what we're doing in real life here. This was a space for this stuff before quarantine. And it just so happened that it started like kind of shortly before quarantine and the pandemic and whatnot. And I think that that's super important because there's a lot of people trying to start communities now and they're trying to start communities sort of post quarantine as a result of quarantine, like directly because quarantine happened.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing a lot of them sort of like succeed because it's a different space and it doesn't do the same things. So like you don't get the interpersonal like face to face interaction because everything that you do has to be through Zoom or voice chat or video chat or text, right? Like it's a very async by default world, and it's very I think there were some huge benefits to having the community established, so to speak, before quarantine hit, and then throughout quarantine has been, for me especially, it's been great for just like being in contact with people and like, yeah. There are people that I didn't know before Party Corgi existed. And now I talk to like every day, right? Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Now you mentioned like a lot of intentionality around like making sure that it's not just a, you know, question and answer type of place, but mm-hmm. that there actually is, you know, we hear the word community a lot, but I feel like a lot of times there's not necessarily intentionality around what you want the community to be, how you want it to be different. And then the actual guidelines or rules that you set in place to kind of ensure that it remain or that it becomes the thing that you want it to be, like that it gets fostered in the direction that you want to see it grow. Mm-hmm. What are some of the ways that you, I mean, I'm sure that there are plenty of questions and answers happening, but how do you prevent, how do you reward the right thing that actually helps the community grow in the way you want to see it?
Yeah, the incentive mechanisms are really interesting because, and this is something that I've been thinking a lot about because we hit somehow on like a group and a way of behaving where people that come in that are like could be problematic or like I've seen be like aggressive or like anti some language somewhere else or something like that, right? They kind of opt out and they opt out pretty quickly. And it's a really interesting phenomenon to see because I look at it and I realize that more and more the early like cadre of people or whatever establish that culture of being here and doing the whole practice thing. Like, it's a place to be and do the thing that you want to do, right? It's not a place to, like, just use, which is really interesting. And, like, I guess there's no, like, we don't intentionally prevent people from coming in and asking, like, one question and leaving, right? Like, nobody's like, ah, yeah, you haven't been here. We're not going to answer your thing.
you must participate for 1 month right, first like before you can ask a question.
There's really no barrier other than, like, accepting the code of conduct, right? And, like, that applies whether you accept it or not. So, like, congrats. but, yeah, I mean, there's no, like, you do get a lot more positive sort of feedback and, like, value out of showing up than you do out of coming here once. Like, hey, I just wrote an ebook. I've never participated here, but I'm going to use it as a marketing channel. And people will kind of just ignore you, right?
Sure, sure.
Like, they'll be like, ah, that's cool, but, like, we don't know you. Why do we care?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting because, like, you don't want people to, like, be blocked from coming in. But the behavior of the people as they come in and realize that this is a community of people who are, like, here to do the thing and not, like, not be used as a marketing channel or something like that is really interesting.
Yeah. You know, I've heard this reinforced kind of over and over again. You know, when we talked with Saran Barak about maybe like a year and a half ago, I'm talking about kind of Code Newbie and how it started. And then also, I mean, I've never had the privilege of talking with him, but his name slips my mind right now. Sivers. Derek Sivers. He has this whole thing about kind of like, you know, fostering your first like followers, I guess, and kind of like making sure that, like, you know, the second person to join your community, like, knows what's up, right? Like, knows all of your values, like, and is excited about them, and like then that will like kind of extend to like the third and the fourth person and like kind of grow naturally. And I like hearing that kind of, you know, this was maybe more a little bit more organic, like this was the community that you wanted and people latched onto it, and because it was valuable for them, kind of wanted to protect the same thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, especially when you're talking about Discord, there's a lot of, like, fan clubs or, like, there's a streamer and this is their Discord. And Party Corgi is very much, like, not a me thing, right? Like,
yeah,
I started the server and I can't really ever get away from that fact. So, like, hey, I did. But, like, it's very much, if the community wasn't there, it wouldn't be anything. Right. Like, I'm not self-sustaining the community by any means. Right. So it's really interesting to have gone from, I guess when it started, it was, I was streaming on Twitch and I was like, there's a bunch of people that keep showing up. And like they show up every time I stream, but like in between they have nowhere to like talk to each other. And I don't know if they're connected at all, in the rest of their lives. So like, it'd be cool to have a spot for those people to like be able to communicate. And that's where, like, the early people that came in came from. And it was never really, like, even then, when it was the Discord that I set up as a result of having a stream, it was not, like, my Discord, right? It was a Discord I started, and it was a Discord that, like, I was heavily associated with, but it was never, like, the Chris Biscardi fan club, which I never wanted it to be, right? So, sure, like, sure. It's a really interesting differentiation between Party Corgi and other communities where, like, yes, I started it and I'm like a high ranking member of the community or whatnot, but it's very much, if I went away, the community would still live, right? There's enough people now where, like, there's a bunch of other mods that could take over and, like, they know how to at this point, right? Like, they do all of the things that I would otherwise do and things like that. So, like, and then there's people who own specific channels and things like that. So, like, we're thinking about how to horizontally scale without, like, somebody like me needing to own everything, right?
Sure.
Like, it's super useful to have somebody to drive initial new stuff, right? New segments of the community, new, like, we started adventure clubs, we started new channel segments for, like, people's open source projects that they're starting and maintaining. And, like, it's useful to have somebody to drive that in the initial state. But once it's up and running, like, there should be a playbook for starting those new channels and shutting them down and like how all of that works. And very, very much so. That's sort of like the differentiator between what Party Corgi is and what other places tend to be in my mind.
Well, Well, when you write that playbook, I'd love to, you know, be one of the, you know, reviewers on it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it all goes out. We have a community gardening channel, and that's where like the what do we do with the future of Party Corgi happens, right? So if you're interested, just hang out in the channel.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. Like, so I wanted to, there's two things that I want to talk about, and I'm going to mention them just so I don't forget, and you can help me remember to come back to them. One, the name, so Party Corgi. And then second, I do want to talk about like Discord specifically. But I guess like, so something that's interesting for me is like, I am extremely introverted. And I kind of like come out in like things like this, right? Like just a one-on-one conversation. Like I could do this all day. Like I'm super introverted, but like this all day, like one-on-one, like I'm down for it.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it anytime. And so I have always had, I guess, trouble like finding my place in community because like I've never really gotten out of that lurker phase. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of curious, like, so for people kind of like me, like, what is your like advice in like maybe getting more involved in that front and like kind of like places where you can kind of find those like smaller groups of people and like one-on-one relationships in like maybe bigger communities, you know, like, you got like 200 member or 2000 members now, like, how do you kind of like find those places for people who are a little bit more lurky still like me?
Yeah. So the first thing I'll say is that lurking is not a bad thing, right? Like a lot of the people who are Party Corgi members lurk, right? And that will always be the case. That's the case with any community. And there's a whole segment of things that I could say about like whenever you do something, you're having a conversation with all of those lurkers and like maybe drawing them closer and maybe not. But like that's all infrastructure, like, so supply side or like whatever, like if the community is set up to do that and operate that way, then they're doing that already. And like as a lurker, you don't really have control over that. But like if you're lurking and you want to like find your people, the best advice I have is to be what you want to see, right? That's how the community started for Party Corgi in the first place, right? I showed up, I sort of exhibited the behavior that I wanted to like attract. And then the people who were like wanted to see more of that behavior also came around and were like, oh, he's doing that over here. Maybe I'll come over and do that over here. So that's my big advice, right? Like, and if you don't want to, if you're too scared to like send the message or like start, like potentially, start a channel or lead something like an adventure club or something, just like, I don't know, start looking out for conversations that you are interested in that are like relevant to you, and just start participating in them. And like, you can send one message and then like next time you can send two, right? And like, you can send two for a while and then like maybe one of the conversations like ignites something in you and like that's the one you're passionate about and that's the one that you send like 50 messages in for whatever reason, right?
Yep.
Like somebody mentions Legos and you're like, I'm really into Legos. Right? But like that's how you do it, right? You sort of like, you're here, you participate every once in a while, you like look at the things that you want, and then when something strikes you, like make sure that you participate when that happens.
Yeah. I love it. All right, you're inspiring me. I'm gonna join a bunch of communities now. Now Party Corgi,
yes,
tell me about it. Not the we covered a little bit about the community, the name inspiration. I feel like we maybe ended our last chat with like, this is like the cliffhanger.
And I was so like, I ask circle me about that next time, and this is next time. Is that what we're doing here?
This is next time. It's next time. The time is now to talk about what Party Corgi is.
So I had a GIF on my hard drive that is a corgi with a rainbow pattern. Like a rotating rainbow pattern, running, and that's what it is. And I had it on my hard drive for a number of years, and then I don't remember why I changed my Twitter name to Party Corgi, but I haven't changed it since. And that was years ago at this point. And that's really what it is. It's just literally that little corgi gif, and we called it Party Corgi, and yeah, that's where the name for the community came from, and it's like, I sort of like transferred the name from me as like a branding element, if you will, like to the community. And now it's like, it means the community. Like if you say party, yeah. party, it doesn't mean me, which is how I want it. But yeah, it's super interesting. And we could never find the person that made the GIF originally. And now if you Google for it, like you find a bunch of party corgi stuff, or like the network and the Discord and whatnot. So yeah, I mean, like now it's in a shit ton of Slacks now and whatnot. And like it's an emote that people use and people will see it. And yeah, I don't know. We never were able to find the person that originally created it. So
yeah.
Every time that I tell the story, I'm like, if you know the person, like let us know, because that would be amazing. And like, I would love to like figure out who that is.
Yeah. I mean, in this world, like this world today where it's like everything kind of like gets memeified, or like you never know what's going to like blow up or like go like just way past your reach. I'm sure it'd be so fun to realize like, hey, this thing that I like made just for like fun, like 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Is now like a banner under which all of these people kind of just create and, you know, make sure that they're like practicing well together.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. It's kind of funny because it could have been anything, right? And it could still be anything.
Yeah.
Like if we changed the logo and the name, like it wouldn't really matter. Right. The yeah. only thing would be like, okay, we have to buy a new domain name. Cool. but like, other than that, it, like it's just, it's not the community, right? The symbol isn't the community. The community is the community.
Yeah,
so we have a bunch of like artists in the community that have done deviations of like a rubber party corgi, or like one of them is Jay, and he's done like bear corgi mashups, and that's kind of cool. And, nice. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, Discord.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Discord was like this sleeper for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and it is just taking off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my initial introduction to Discord was when I think it was like Reactiflux,
yep.
maybe was like on Slack, and they hit some limit and they're like, mm-hmm. we're gonna try this thing called Discord. It's like pretty much for gamers, but like the limits are better for us, and so we're just gonna do that.
Yep.
And then after that, it just really became like something else entirely. I mean, I guess kind of the same way that like Twitch was kind of like originally for like, you know, gaming, and mm-hmm. just like exploded in the last, you know, year for like all kinds of streaming. So I'd love to know, like from your perspective, like what is it that makes Discord Discord and different from, you know, Slack and all that kind of stuff? But like apart from like the limits, because like, you know, that's, you know, a thing or whatever, but like it seems like Discord has some special things going on that aren't just like the limits that it doesn't have.
Yes and no. I think that there is the type of community that you need to run without paying for every user in it,
mm-hmm.
is not a community that Slack wants on their platform.
Yeah.
Right. So like we don't need to talk about like user limits and whatever, but like fundamentally Slack has declared that they do not want to be for this type of community. And this type of community is the kind of community that people want to be a part of in the vast majority of situations, right? Like, and if you have a bunch of people who all like aren't necessarily paying for it and can log in whenever they want and sign up and like choose to opt out or opt in or whatever, you need like real community features, right? Like, you need to be able to block people if they're being abusive. Like, Before like, yeah. So like if you're in Slack is built for companies, right?
Yeah.
You can't block people in Slack because they don't want you to ever do that for some reason.
Can't like block a coworker.
Yeah. They're like, well, I won't speak for them, but I have this on my blog and I have them quoted and it doesn't look good. But it's basically like, you can't block people in Slack. You don't have community tools in Slack. You don't have the extra moderation tools and things like that. And Discord came from gaming community and like League of Legends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where like abuse is a problem, right?
Yeah.
So like it's really no surprise that they built tools to address these problems.
Yeah.
And that's really where like when I say that you should use Discord for your next like open community or whatnot, that's really what I mean. They have the moderation tools and they have mm-hmm. them at a granular level. They have the APIs where if you need to build something, you can. They have the personal level tools where you can mute and block and do like whatever you need to do to feel safe, right? And be safe. And these other platforms just don't have that for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is interesting because like you have distinct problems, you know, whether, you know, working, you know, having company chat or community chat, but like a company chat, it kind of skirts around all of those issues because it's like, hey, if your company has a bad actor, like that's an HR problem. Like you solve that through the department of your company. I have opinions on that. Yeah, like whether or not that's effective or not is another thing, but like they kind of opt out of it. They're like, hey, that's none of our business, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like, you know, Discord, you know, as you said, is designed for communities, and that does become like a first class concern of the actual platform, having ways to actually like moderate people and make sure that people don't have access in the wrong places or access at all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, I want to talk about the way in which you kind of you've done a lot of stuff. You've been able to like you've started a podcast. Mm-hmm. You've been streaming to Discord, yep. And this is all stuff that I'm like super. We've talked about this before, mm-hmm. kind of like just like, you know, podcasting, like what its place is, and you know, we've kind of played with different ways of making those like social media stingers and all that kind of stuff. We've had all these chats, but I'm really curious about the like live streaming part of it and the way that you're doing that to your Discord community. We kind of like touched on that just a little bit before, but like this is an interesting idea to me, the idea of not like open wide broadcasting, but like network specific broadcasting. How has that been, and kind of what's the goal you're hoping to achieve there?
Yeah, I guess like people have termed these kinds of things like cozy networks, and like maybe I call it cozy broadcasting instead of like, you know, the wider Twitch internet broadcasting. This is some terminology that I'm getting from Maggie on the Digital Gardens front. So like I'm just kind of adopting it. But like, yeah, so the intent of me streaming into Discord is that the space and the people that I care about and where I see this going in the future is not necessarily like audience, it's community. Right. Hmm. And I think that there's an important difference there where like in an audience, I would be the only one benefiting, really. Right. Like you can have elements of community inside of an audience, but like the focus is on like the streamer. Right. And you can see this in game streaming discords and things like that. And they're basically all fan clubs for a specific streamer or YouTuber or something like that. Right. And then there's community, and community is the other end of that where like everybody is benefiting, right? Or everybody can benefit, right? It's not necessarily that everybody is having a great old time and everybody benefits, but like there's like the idea that the benefit is inherent to everybody participating in the community as opposed to being for like a single purpose or brand or whatnot. So I forget actually what your original question was, but that like there's a difference between audience and the community.
Yeah Well, the reason I ask is because like this is kind of plays into like the original reason I wanted to talk with you about that, but then also that kind of like that like lurking side of things that like I'm kind of naturally live in as someone who's largely an introvert. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with you about it is because I feel like you have done it in the way that I would like to see it done. Mm-hmm. And so like I feel like, you know, React Podcast has always been basically an excuse for me to steal an hour of, you know, people's time. And I feel like that has been like that's served me and I think a lot of people well to be able to kind of like lurk in that. However, I do feel like, you know, there's a lot of like spin-off conversations that people would like to have, and there's not like a place for that right now. Mm-hmm. Beyond just kind of like communities that people make for themselves. You know, or like just kind of like taking an episode and like talking about it with their, you know, their own circle of people. And I think that's the thing that I'd like to like do better, right? And it's like, and I think that like the way you're talking about this, like fan club versus like community is like very much something that like I'm interested in, because it's like I have no interest in like achieving guru status, right? Like like it just kind of like it just creeps me out. The whole thing is just like the whole guru culture is like totally messed up. Mm-hmm. And like for me, all I've ever wanted was this right here, like mm-hmm. what we're doing right now. But I would like to help serve people better. And I think what you're describing is very much like in line with the goals that I would like to see like kind of like achieved over the next, you know, year or so.
Yeah. So I guess to answer your original question, which I remembered now, why am I streaming like into Discord? Because like I said earlier, like somebody needs to do it first when you're like creating a new feature of a community, right? And
yeah.
I'm that person right now, or I was anyway. There's now groups of people who stream both in the Discord and also stream into Discord and use audio chat and send it to Twitch, which is a really interesting new development that we've been experimenting with on the Party Core Network Twitch channel.
Okay.
So I stream to my personal channel less, but I stream to the Party Corgi Twitch channel, and I do it from Discord with like a panel chat, basically, that happens in Discord, or like game night happens in Discord, and we stream everybody and their screen shares of playing a certain game to the Twitch channel, which is really cool. So yeah, there's a couple of different things, but like, yeah, I made the move from Twitch to Discord because that's where I want to be and that's where I want to see more happen. Right.
Yeah.
I like the community aspect. I like the fact that people will just be basically co-working, screen sharing, talking about what they're doing in voice chat. You can just drop in and listen. You can drop in and participate. You can learn something from somebody, and like, yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Now, so it sounds to me like this has really become like your like, I guess, breeding ground for ideas and discussion. So like, you're not going to like go, like if you have a new idea for something, like something you want to like test out, discuss with people, or like stream or whatever, like you're thinking about it community first, and then there may be an export to like a podcast or like a Twitch stream or like an ebook or course or like whatever. But like fundamentally, that stuff is happening first in your community, for your community, and then come what may for like the exports.
Yeah, especially since like, so the Party Corgi podcast is attached to the community, right? And it's a thing that I host because somebody has to host it, right? and there will be conversations in the middle of like Discord, and we'll be like, this is a really deep, interesting conversation. Why don't we move it to the podcast? And then we can jump in like a Discord voice channel, do the recording, and then we can ship it on the podcast. And that is a really interesting way of like doing the thing that we're doing right now. And like what we were talking about with like the one-on-one conversations in the corners of the world are amazing. And more people can learn from them, right? So that's an episode. One of those episodes is coming out, I think, 2 weeks from now, 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
One that I was having with Dom, which is another mod in the Party Corgi network. And we were just talking about community and whatnot. And we were like, well, we have a lot of thoughts on this. We could just record it. And we did.
Yeah. So what is, so you mentioned the some of the features of Discord. So you have the administration, but then also you have this like voice channel thing. Is there also video in Discord? You know, like could we do something like this, like one-on-one without having to like use Zoom for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
And I can get more into that, but the answer is yes.
Yeah. Well, I am kind of interested in like where, like, when you decide to make certain exports, so like you decide to do a podcast, you decide to do the Twitch, you decide to do all those kind of things. Is it, I mean, obviously everything takes work and setup, but there are channels, it sounds like there are channels in which you can like redirect that out of Discord when you want to.
We have, so you can do video chat, you can do voice chat, you can do text chat, whatever. And we have a voice channel, which also does video, called Live on Twitch. And if you're in that channel, the assumption is that you are streaming to Twitch. So if you join the channel, you are now part of voice chat that is now recorded and broadcast to the internet. And that's kind of like the way that you would, and people have been doing this, like Trevor's been doing this every Wednesday night for his No Word project, which is really cool. You should check it out.
Yeah.
And a couple other people do this as well. And we do it on the Party Corgi Network Twitch. And it's really interesting because like you can set up OBS like we were talking about earlier, and it can just pull in all the audio streams and then send the video if you do the pop-out chat. And it auto lays everything out. So like you don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to put like a screen over here for this person and then a screen over here for this person. Hope Zoom doesn't mess it up.
like what I spent the previous hour just today trying to figure out. And then I just gave up and I was like, I'm just going to screen cap Zoom.
Yep, exactly.
Interesting. So I love this concept because I've been trying to figure out for a really long time, like how to, like where the hub is. And I think that this is like, you know, really a hard thing to figure out, right? Because, you know, for some people, the hub is Twitch, right? Mm-hmm. The hub is like YouTube and like the one of the artifacts is Discord. Mm-hmm. But I'm really driven to this idea because, I mean, there's so many effects of this, right? Where it's like, if I say, I mean, we just had an episode with Gant Laborde, and he gave, you know, away free licenses to a course that he has on machine learning. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a place to be like, hey, if you want these five licenses, hit me up here. It was just like, I guess, like, at me or DM me on Twitter. Like, there was no place to say like, hey, like you've been listening to this show, you're part of this community, like, you get these things. And so I just love learning from you on this front, because it sounds like Discord really gives you a place to do that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I actually did the same thing with Gant a while back on my Twitch channel. And the way I treated it was, the people who were there, who showed up to the Twitch channel, got the codes. And we did just a giveaway on the spot.
Nice. Nice.
And we did that over the course of like two shows or something like that. Dom, by the way, is saying that he would love to help you set up the React Podcast Discord. So there's your offer.
I have no excuses now.
And Dom like does this for a living now. Well, not for a living. Yeah. But like, he does this to get paid now. And like, that's a huge offer. So I would take him up on it if you're looking for it.
I loved having him on the show. I think maybe like 15 episodes back, we just had a great chat about like community, and Dom just loves people, loves communities. Like,
yeah.
I love his enthusiasm. Always makes me feel really good after like chatting with him. Cool. Well, I guess that's kind of, I feel like that's the questions that I have. Cool. If anyone in chat has questions, I'd love to kind of like, you know, continue this on. But I guess just wrapping up for the podcast, I'm curious, over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, like, what are some things that you think are really going to take off in terms of, you know, community development and the tools and experiences that we use to provide these, I guess, like, distributed kind of remote community experiences?
It's hard to say which tools are going to take off, because 3 to 5 is a long time, as we're both aware, working in the JavaScript ecosystem.
Yeah, let's make it 1.5 to 3. Let's do that.
Discord is going to continue to grow. It's been like silently growing since at least ReactiFlux swapped over, right? Like, it's been on my radar since at least that long.
Yeah.
They are making more community tools. They're refocusing on communities as opposed to gaming, unlike Twitch, which went the other way recently with whatever. But yeah, so I mean, Discord is definitely a space to watch. If you're looking for an open community, if you have a community where basically like everybody in the community is not going to be able to pay like $5 a month to like participate, Discord is a great spot.
Yeah,
it's also kind of hilariously in context, a great place for like paid communities if you have those, or like paid audiences or whatever you want to call that, right? Where you have like a newsletter, a paid podcast, and you give people a space as a result of that. There are people running Discord access through Patreon and stuff like that, which is a really interesting mechanism. But yeah, I think that over the course of the next year and a half or 2 years or whatnot, Discord is going to continue to grow. They've been doing a lot of good work in terms of features and stuff like that. They already have a good space. I don't see Slack being like, we need to compete with Discord. They seem to have made their choice.
Yeah. The enterprise is very, a very strong force.
There will be other tools, especially around like community metrics and stuff like that. And then community, there will be people who are like, yes, we're all quarantined now. I need to build something. And some of those tools will be usable, and some of them will, you know, not work, as most things are.
Yeah.
And one of them may be great, right? One of them may be the next thing that you use to build your next community. I haven't seen that one yet, but it's possible.
Well, hey, Chris, this has been amazing. Thank you for, I've long admired your ability to foster a community in a very virtuous, true to yourself kind of way. And so I'm grateful for you coming on the show, kind of helping me, I guess, just fit the pieces of this whole thing in my mind. I'm a very like slow thinker, and so I really appreciate your voice, you know, for all of us, but then also for me. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you. And I'd like to thank the mods of the Party Corgi Discord before we head out. Dom, Derek, Prince, and Monica for all the work that y'all do. It's really appreciated. And all the Tumblrs as well.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Cool. Well, we'll have to have you on again for number four sometime. And I don't have any good lead-ins. Do you have any secrets that you want to like just
dropping secrets?
hang over the cliff for the next time.
be what you want to see. And that's it. That's the end game.
I love it. That's great advice. Thanks again for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
This has been episode 111 of React Podcast with Chris Biscardi and Chantastic. For show notes, visit reactpodcast.com/111. Thanks again to this week's sponsors, Imagix and Infinite Red. Unprocessed images kill performance. Imagix helps you deliver sharp, snappy images to customers with powerful image processing and a simple API, delivered on a global CDN. Follow the lead of Unsplash, Kickstarter, and Prismic, who use Imagix because they know the importance of image optimization for user experience. Get a $300 account credit at imagix.com/react podcast. That's Imagix, imagix.com/react podcast. Infinite Red have been designing, building, and shipping quality apps for 10 years and make their expertise and industry connections available to you. Infinite Red will give you $750 to start or refer a new project. Get expert help from Infinite Red by visiting reactpodcast.infinite.red. If you like this show, there's a fast, free way to demonstrate your support. Leave us a review on iTunes. It's the best way for you to let me know what you think we're doing right and what we can improve. 2 to 3 minutes of your time helps us make the best show we possibly can. As always, links and show notes for all episodes are available at reactpodcast.com. This episode was edited by Mikhail Delport. It was produced by Mikhail Delport and Sarah Jackson at Spec, a network to help you level up in design and development. Check out spec.fm for other shows that are sure to fast-track your career. I'm your friend, Chantastic. Thanks for listening. We'll be in your ears again next week.